Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his method. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Black Socrates, welcome to Conversations with Black Socrates, and we are returning once again with my brother, Baba Amin. What's up, brother? How you doing, King?
I'm doing great, black man. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. You back in the saddle one more game, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, pop up. You know, I'm outside right now. You know, it's a pop up. You know, popped up on.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, popped up on it, man.
Yes, that's how we do it.
What's
anybody that might be
told, you know, I had to get permission
from the
queen. You know.
Cool. I love it.
Yeah,
She let me get up from my plate.
Let me get up, you know, and do my thing because she know I love beer. You know, she know I love beer. No mental dialogue, so it's all good, man. We good.
Hey, it's perfect. Again, pop up. If you are a first time listener to the pop up, it is raw, it's uncut. Again, this brother right here is the founder of the Hulu Academy. Out of Florida, Texas, again, brother Baba Amin Imamu Ojuwo. So we did as you said before, we made history. We did the pop up just a couple weeks ago. And
that's right.
Man,
can't nobody take that away from me. They can't take.
No, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. But for anybody again,
just
tuning in. Yep, this is very raw radio. If you want to call it radio, we just gonna let y'all kind of tune in and listen to. You know, what me and this brother got to talk about, we'll open the phone lines if we get to that point. But what made me actually want to bring you on so soon, considering it was just a few weeks ago that I had you, and I got another one lined up on Thursday with a sister by the name of Maria Richards. So I'm looking forward to doing that one Thursday afternoon.
Check that out.
Let's go ahead and just jump right into, you know what I'm saying, what made me say I want to talk to you this early and this quick again. And you, I mean, I don't think you can recall this, but I think it was maybe on Friday, you posted on Facebook, and I highly recommend that people look up Baba Amin and find his brother as he does a morning build. The founder of the Hulu Academy, talking about, absolutely, let me throw this out real quick, just so the people get a little background, 26-year educator of our children, specifically in African-centered education, so. Big prop, so I want to kind of give that backdrop, and then let's go ahead and get into the discussion. But anyway, Friday, you made a post, and again, you have a lot of followers, and you was very disheartened by something that you had seen via social media. It touched me so much, brother, and it touched me because this area, and I'll let you speak on it, but this area is an area that I don't know that we've correctly scaled or navigated within our community as far as all the arenas and areas that we're trying to continue with and figure out, you know, how we're going to handle things and how we're going to move forward in the future. This is an area I think is near and dear to moving forward. But we got to take a step back because you was touched by a video you saw. So if you will, brother, kind of bring that to the
table.
I won't either.
I don't need to watch the video. And
absolutely.
You know, I don't want to be a part of the move to promote the video, because I think that the video ain't really necessarily shared for awareness. You know what I'm saying? You know, but to perpetuate negativity within our community, you know, to shame us, you know, we I think we deal with toxic shame as a people. I think that when we stand up for justice and righteous causes, we often get shamed back. That's why you be at the meeting and somebody always say, we can't talk about them killing us if we killing each other. That's shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe that we shame ourselves out of fighting for what we deserve. You know what I'm saying? And I think images
I don't watch the videos for the exact same reason you're speaking of. And I didn't know that you didn't, but I'm not shocked, you know, like knowing of the cloth that you are, because just like you spoke on it, and we got to bring some of the action to the table, but again, neither one of us haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I do the same thing. I can do full out shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, reading it is sufficient. Like when you read the caption in the article,
absolutely.
It tells you what went on in the video. So you don't have to watch. You know, I read the article. Mm-hmm. I read a few articles. You know, I jumped from one source to another because I don't even want to rely on one source. You know what I'm saying? Right. But you know, and I think what touched me, you know, what disheartened me is just the level of violence between black men and black women, not all of us. You know, not all of us, but definitely the level of violence between black men and black women. We need to have safe spaces for our women, safe spaces for our women, safe spaces for our men, you know, and anything we fighting for, man, if we can't get a hold of the relationship we have with our divine complements, we're not going to be able to build a nation. If you can't build a family, how can you build a community?
Exactly.
You can't build a community.
Exactly.
How
and
can
we jump
build
ahead.
A
let's,
nation?
Let's be fair for anybody out there listening. If we just give the small context of the video that we're referring to so that we can keep going where we're going. We
Let's
give a little context. Cause like you said, neither one of us needs to watch it. We've already kind of given our reasons why. I'll also tell others, in a sense, the same sense I just referred to Maria Richard, and she was on my
show.
She says those videos are for us. They're not for the masses. They're for us, which is the reason we shouldn't watch them. But we can get into that a little more. But yeah, give a little context if you will.
Okay. Well, you know, it was a sister. I forget the city, but it was a sister that was basically killed on Facebook Live by a guy, I guess, that she was dating, but was trying to get away from. And, you know, he actually had her go live. I think that evidently he had somebody else, and she was bragging, got him caught, got him busted by his other woman or whatever. He made her go on Facebook Live, take some things back, and, you know, and then was basically like, I'll make you famous. And then they say he killed her. You just saw the phone drop. You heard the gunfire. Mm-hmm. They say, and he killed her. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and of course the media is reporting it. You know, and I was just like, wow. You know, we got to do better, and we will do better. We are better. You know what I'm saying? We are better than that. And so. You know, and I don't know how true the explanation is. To be, you know what I'm saying? We're not there.
Right. No, you know what you mean?
You know, they didn't. Right. They say they didn't show her, but the news reported it after that. That sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? But it really just got me to thinking how unstoppable black men and black women are when we're together, and how historically dividing us is a key component to oppressing us. You know. Keeping us divided, whether you go back to Yasantewa and the Asante people, man, when the sisters had to step up, when the brothers was falling back, kind of giving in to the enemy, you know what I'm saying, compromising,
right.
And the sisters had to step up, you know, and they fought valiantly, but it was that initial split between the black man and black woman that made the nation more vulnerable in the first place. They had to keep Winnie Mandela away from Nelson Mandela, you know. And they got to keep the black man and woman in America away from each other, you know. And we have to be aware of that. And so
that's why I wanted to talk to you, because that's what a conversation needs to go.
Yeah.
After moments like this, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we have to,
it's disheartening. Again, neither one of us incapable, both incapable of of watching it. You know, it is so unnecessary for us to see our own hurt in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And just and to give even more context to what Maria Richard said on my show on the previous show, when she says those videos are for us, what she means, and I think she's dead on with this. So she was saying that if the videos were for the larger society, and what she means from the concept that a lot of people will say, you know, things are not any different now. It's just caught on video now. Or whatever, and you know, obviously this is a specific video where a guy went live, so it's a little different than the typical video, which, let's say, for example, a police shooting or something like that. You know, you know, obviously the Stephon Clark situation, which I won't watch that video either, right? But let's just still fit into this in this moment. So what she'll say, her reasoning, which I'd already stopped watching them before she ever said this, but it made so much sense. She goes, the showing of those videos of, you know, for example, of the cops, you know, maybe like a Stephon Clark or whatever the case may be. The showing of those type of videos, Samuel DuBose, whatever the case may be, is so that if it was for the masses, then the videos would have the effect of basically changing what's happening. But since the videos don't really change anything, then she says, well, what's the purpose of the video? Because they're not changing, you understand what she's saying? It's not changing the action.
But, you know, and I would say, like, in all fairness, sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes something, blunt trauma, to spark people into action. You know.
Right, but here's
her
thinking.
Sometimes it takes something with shock value to spark somebody into action. But I think that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, exactly. But let me throw this out because I just want to give a perspective, and I think it still applies to this video as well. But the concept is, if it was changing something in our society in general, I'm talking about, you know, like, again, a police shooting or whatever. If those videos work to do so, because we're quote unquote on the receiving end quite too often of these situations, it is human nature to think, you know, well, you know, this, we saw it on video, so how did the cop get off or something to that effect, you know, in that one of those situations. And what she's offering is those videos really just serve as trauma to keep us in fear.
Yeah.
And so throwing out that is the intent in running the videos continuously. And so if that's been the intent of those videos from a mass media perspective, then you must best believe.
But people
got to
understand
that
the mass
media
is not interested, is not concerned about black people.
Exactly, exactly. So with that said, now think about, I want to give a psychological concept here. So if we both agree that, as you just said, they don't have our best interest in mind, and now she says those videos are specifically for us to add on to the trauma and add to the fear. Well, now let's put this in the context of the social media age. So if
and
we have mass media... Right. So
to
here
add
it is.
On
if
to
we
the
have
field.
The mass,
yeah. I see.
Mm-hmm. So we have mass media with an intention that we've never really paid attention to, right? Because we watch it and see it over and over and get disheartened, and then the cop gets off and we're upset. So if the mass media, for example, is doing that intentionally, well, anytime that we share, as you just said in the very beginning of this, anytime that we're sharing violent videos, even if it's of our own, now we're in a situation where now we're doing it for them. By sharing
we're feeding the propaganda machine. Yeah, we're feeding the propaganda machine because
we have
a
fear. More than the trauma and the fear.
The
trauma and the fear.
The two brothers that got arrested, at Starbucks, and the brother that did the murder on that video, that's the same person. To the average eyes, as far as black men go. Yeah. Them two brothers in Starbucks are that same guy. We're all that man. To the dumb, especially the dumbest educated masses of the enemy. We're all that man. We're all that brother.
And so if I know you're following what I'm saying, but I wanted to bring it into the context for anybody out there listening, that how it becomes imperative I didn't want them to just hear you and I agree why we don't watch it and just kind of say, oh, okay, they don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give a perspective to help somebody listening to understand that, unfortunately, the sharing of those videos, there's plenty of people that say, oh, you know, I don't share those videos, and I get it. But
yeah.
I wanted to bring in context to anybody who might listen, who
Absolutely.
Is willing to share, or who's never
yeah.
even thought
we
about
can share information,
what we're talking
man,
about.
But yeah, because the imagery is important. Visuals, what
and
you
that
need
we become
just
aware,
visually is important. Yes.
Exactly, that we become aware of the people. So that's why.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's my long way of saying, when you said
yeah.
I ain't watched the video, I'm not surprised knowing the man, again, I said it earlier a few seconds ago, that you didn't. But I just really wanted to peel that back and hope others that
yeah.
are listening can understand.
And
that
once
that
you
becomes,
really understand, Black mm-hmm. Socrates, once you really understand that we are in a state of war every day, another reason why you don't need to see the video, because you already know that's happening. You already know that's going on, and we out here fighting it on a daily basis. We out here building. We out here working to bring black love. That's why we scream black love is black power, because we know those things are happening, and we know we have an antidote, and we got to spread the antidote, you know. So
and,
since
and,
the urgency
speaking
is
of the
already
antidote,
there. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. And speaking of antidote, here's what the context of that specific video brings to the table for our own people. Again, with
mm-hmm.
now we're talking about a black man taking a black woman's life. You know,
yeah.
social media aside. So here's the antidote, because people would agree, spread that black love. But let's get deep into the antidote, because here's the other war that unfortunately is happening, which speaks to what you already talked about, the quote-unquote gender war. That's getting pushed on some of our people. You know, a lot of us are not receiving none of that, right?
Well, I think a lot of us are men. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, I think that, you know, like you know what, we use terms like agenda being pushed on us and that sort of thing, but a lot of it is just living with European people. A lot of it is just living in a European culture. This is their history. This is their culture. This is the history of the relationship between their gender. See, one of the things about toxic shame is it makes us feel like that we do some kind of unique type of violence that nobody else is doing. And we put the violence on our disease. Like, man, we got to come up out of this disease. But then we call the disease self-hate, but we don't call it European cultural influence. Which is what it is.
Yeah, I respect that.
You feel me?
No,
of course. Because part of the antidote
again,
is getting away from them.
So what I would offer, because I don't see that as an immediate option. And what I mean by immediate is, now I live my life to an extent where I don't have those interactions, but I'm in Atlanta too, so that helps, right? So, you know, if I live somewhere
mm-hmm.
else, it might not be that easy. I'm just being,
sure.
you know, very sincere about it.
But there
so,
is
but
an
what
immediate
I, what
antidote,
I,
though.
Okay. But
see,
so here's what
that's
I'm going
to talk about.
Because
this is how you look at it. See, when you say get away from them, we're just not talking about in the physical. We got to get away from them in the spiritual and in the mental first.
Well, see, I want to go somewhere else if we could, brother. And I'm going to
yeah,
tell you where I want to go.
But I just want to clarify that. You know, because you said you didn't see that as an immediate option. It is an absolute immediate option. African centered education that can do that. You know, culture can do that. We just got to be committed to doing the work. But go ahead, brother.
Okay. So, because unfortunately, I think we could agree that in a sense, this quote unquote gender war that's happening, I think amongst African Americans, and again, it ain't just our war. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just happening culturally in general,
mm-hmm.
as you already mentioned. But it's something that's kind of been taken on by some in our community. And like I said, some of us, we know better. We see, we understand what's happening. So
yeah.
therefore, we don't participate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We definitely have men and, you know, sisters and brothers who don't participate in that, what none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
unfortunately, we know that it is constantly pushed, so it is
difficult. Oh, yeah.
It can
yeah.
be very difficult
Absolutely.
For a lot of our people to not participate in it in some ways. I mean, what we saw on social media, we didn't watch it, but we just talked about it. That scenario is
very difficult. To not participate.
So
we're immersed in their culture. We're immersed in this culture.
Right.
We're immersed.
So here's where I want to go. Right. So here's where I want to go, because I think you have to take steps, in a sense, to if we're going to help people who are every day getting hit with the messages that we know are no good for them, right? So here's the element in this thing, the element in this situation in which we can turn some things around. So what I watch back when I see the back and forth where maybe sisters are blaming brothers for this, and you know, and brothers are blaming sisters for not being this kind of way or that kind of way, or, you know, or getting wrapped up in the feminine, you know, feminist movement and that kind of thing. So some brothers say, well, you know, sisters have gotten independent and all this kind of stuff. And so basically you watch every day this big blame game thing that takes place, right? So the antidote to stop some of that is, in my opinion, for us as African-American men to realize it falls on us mostly. But I think we learn and come up in a manner in which we constantly put the weight on our sisters who damn near going to carry it even with us. I'm saying generally speaking, you know what I mean? Generally speaking, even with us kind of laying a lot of what we see happening in our community, a lot of times sisters feel like a lot of blame gets laid at their feet as far as how relationships go and how weak or strong the black family is and things of that nature. And so what I'm saying, it is time for us as men to realize that even the sisters who, for example, who have bought completely into that movement, to the extent that you even have sisters who will go as far as to say there's no good men out here, or you run into the sisters who talk junk about, you know, black on a consistent basis. Well, I'm of the belief that it is the failing of us as black men historically that has even led to that one. And there is a space that we as men must come and learn to occupy in order to put things back in order, if that makes sense.
It does. And I hear you. I definitely hear your point. I guess our failure was getting conquered in the first place. I guess our failure was getting taken from our land. Our failure was getting having another man's God co-opted on us. Our failure was having our children ripped from us, our wives ripped from us. Our failure was that maybe that it took 300 years to get off the plantation, another 150 years to be treated halfway like a citizen. You get about 40, you get the 70s to express some black pride. You get crack in the 80s, you know, gang banging in the 90s, you know, and I guess you can lump our relationship with the black woman all up into that, because all that happened, and you can't really separate one aspect completely from another, because they're all interconnected. I think that we have an uncanny ability as African people to recognize what's wrong with us and how we need to be. The black woman knows she needs to be standing beside her man, not behind, not being property, because she's been beside the man and ahead of the man before. One of the differences between a black woman that's talking about gender equality, equity, and a white woman talking about gender equity is that culturally, gender equity is something that European women have never had. Black women, they've had it before. It's in their culture. It's in the black woman's cultural DNA to be in leadership. You see what I'm saying? She's been there before, you know. And the black man knows. That's why you can disrespect everybody except his mama. Even if he disrespects his mama, you can't, because there's something inside of him that says you have to revere the black woman. But it's something else that's dominating his psyche where he can know that but not be able to effectively do that at the same time.
Right, and that's and that's the thing.
You know, so we can articulate
you're absolutely right.
What we need to be.
Right.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We can articulate where we need to be. We do a great job of that as African people, you know. But until we wrap ourselves up in the culture that made us that way in the first place, we won't be able to effectively do it, in my opinion. We'll be able to see it, call it out, describe it, but as long as you begin your history in 1619, you won't be able to do it.
And I don't disagree with that. Again, obviously, in the Middle Dollar community, we definitely encourage,
redefinition is in order for both genders. Redefinition is in order.
Right. So what I would say, though, is you say until then, and so, again, mm-hmm. we do encourage that African education within our community.
Yeah.
But let me just throw this out if I could, bro. Let me throw this out. What I'm saying is the process to getting the process to heading in that direction, we have to talk about that, and that's what I'm trying to talk about. I'm trying to have the conversation.
I'm trying to have
the conversation for how to psychologically start down the path. And so, so when you make that example, you're absolutely right that we don't really allow for nobody to disrespect our mother. You know, for the most part, that is very true. But we also know that the indoctrination sometimes some men, it may not go past their mother or past their sister.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is in order to get things in order, the only way we're going to do that is for black men to apply that same respect they give to their mother to all women. That can't happen.
But you know what? You got to practice
something.
Yeah. But you have to orient yourself. I'm in the country. Orientate yourself. You have to change. You have to affect your mental orientation in order to make that happen. In order to make it happen, because we carry emotional baggage. I know of brothers that I've counseled with that went into it love and was hugging and respecting and revering every day. But then when anger comes up, it comes out. She's a queen. She's this. She's this. You know, we on this new level. Then anger come up. Then she a bitch again. Then you go from being Tyler Kweli to NWA in 5 seconds.
Right. And
what I'm saying is one way to fight that. One way to fight that. One way that's helped me fight that over the years is that them old songs I used to like and all that. I don't feed my psyche that no more. I cut that stuff. You know, I stop listening. I don't care if the beat is nice. You feel me? Like if I want to love on my wife and be, you know, I have to make a conscious effort to feed myself. I listen to love songs because I have a wife to love on. I have daughters to love on. You feel me? And so I'm just talking about some practical strategies. You know, that'll psychologically
help us.
Well, I hope that I am, because that's what you have brought up. Yeah.
Right. I hope so. And I'm saying the step before that is to even start saying it and suggesting it.
Yes.
If you know what I'm talking about, just the initial, because we won't even think to do it if you never hear it, nobody ever tells you that. We actually got a caller. Let's just jump on to the caller. Area code 313, last 3148. Give us your name, where you're calling us from, and your 3 cents.
Peace and love. How y'all doing? It's Truth from Detroit. What's up, Baba?
Truth.
What's up?
Truth,
what's
from
happening,
Detroit?
Black man? What's up, Truth? People's Barbershop.
Hey, what you? Yeah, we just chopping it up, brother. What you got going on with it?
Man, I was just listening to the dialogue. I've been listening to that for about 20 minutes, about 15 minutes. So, I've been taking in. It's always a pleasure to listen to Baba Amin. Don't give his spiel. You know, he definitely, you know, always coming with some great methods and practical things to do. You know what I mean? That's basically how we got to keep it. We got to be very practical, you know, with things that can be applied right now to our communities. You know, that's what we got to be focusing on. We can't be focusing on 50-year-old strategies and 1,000-year-old things. You know, those things are definitely great to know and understand and study and all those things, but to get busy and to get to work in your community is going to take things that your people can relate to. And we know the vast majority of our people not relate to, you know, ancient Kemet and Ifa and Yoruba and all that type of stuff. It's just, you know, just not the case. You know, not saying, you know, not that we don't expose them to that, but, you know, you definitely got to meet them where they at first. You know,
yeah.
You got to come to them first.
You
got to go to the
people. You build that. Okay. You build the history into the message. You build that into the message, into the action. You know, you give life. You give life to your message through actions, practical action. You know, it sound a lot. Everything sound better with a sandwich. Everything sound looks better under some shelter. You know what I'm saying? You know, food, clothing, shelter, practicality. You know, and we have to see as black men and black women, we have to see each other as divine complements in practical, everyday ways, and see each other's value to one another. You know, and but you have to be oriented to that. You can't come off of a diet of bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks, and then because you read a Doc Ben book, think you see queens all of a sudden.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying, I think that the messaging to in order to have a chance and to start the process to what you're talking about, Bob, in my opinion, is something as simple as recognizing that we should apply the same respect we give to our mother to all sisters. I'm not saying this will work automatically. What I am saying is that as we as men come into whatever positions of leadership or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, just have relationships with other brothers, you know, other brothers, what I'm saying is Like truth is saying. So in, you know, meeting a brother where he's at, like, you know, talking about something that they're not oriented, as you say, you know, they're not oriented to it. Like you said, they're on a diet of all this other stuff. What they might can hear me say is, you apply the same respect to all sisters that you would your mother. I'm not saying it works automatically, but that's meeting them where
they're at. No. You have to say it in order to chart a path to it. You have to acknowledge it and say it and proclaim it, you know, in order to chart a path to that. We just got to understand that that's making the commitment is where the journey begins, not where it ends.
Oh, yeah.
I know you agree with me on that. So you're saying, you know, I understand you said that's to get started, you have to make that commitment. Right, but you don't want anybody making a commitment that don't understand.
I'm confused. See, I don't feel like I'm asking someone to make a commitment at this point. I think we are mentally, in order to capture people, we got to get way before that step. And I think just sharing something as simple as because nobody's going to immediately commit to it just because you say it. So I'm not even talking about the commitment point. I'm talking about the psychology of putting someone who has went through 12 years of public school and listening to the music, which you're talking about constantly every day. I'm not asking for a commitment to share that. What I am talking about in this engagement between that does happen in our community, in my opinion, way too much, you know, where black men are talking about women and black women are talking about men. And what I'm saying is, To have enough of us as men saying, no, brother, it ain't what the sister's doing. It's the environment is created by for us to be able to say our lack of respect of our sister. Because the first response a lot of men will say when you make some type of statement like that, there'll be a lot of men, they'll say, well, there's some women who carry themselves in that way, so what am I supposed to do?
Go ahead. And I feel you, because look, I am in no way do you minimize the role that African men have to play in the healing of this relationship with the African woman. In no way do you minimize it by just sticking to just mentioning that. Like there are things that sisters need to do as well, right? there is development that needs to go on. And I know you're saying the majority us, but I'm saying if we divine compliments, you know, then in order to compliment one another, whatever I become, you have to become something that can receive that or compliment mm-hmm. that. You know, and
I'm not disagreeing. All I'm saying, Bob,
you know,
I mean, what I am saying is we got to start
balance development amongst both genders. Balance development.
Right, and I'm actually suggesting that to get that, it has to start with us recognizing that part. I think without the recognition of, I'm kind of challenging a little bit.
I think the black man is reminded every day. I think that black men we're reminded every day that we ain't shit.
See, here it is.
I don't think you understand me then.
If that's what you think, so what I don't. These are my opinion. I don't think you understand me, and because what I'm saying here is, I know we're reminded every day. What I'm specifically talking about, even with that constant reminder,
mm-hmm.
okay, because we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But even with
yeah.
that constant reminder, it also with all the weight that we carry, and this is what I think a lot of our queens feel. So with the weight that we
uh-huh.
carry,
uh-huh.
some of us not having learned how to be a man, and we're all still learning, right, to a
mm-hmm.
certain extent, especially
mm-hmm.
as a community, right? With all of what we're up against on the psychological level, with being reminded of it every day, sometimes we lash out, and the sisters feel like we're pushing on to them.
I mean, I agree with you. You're right. You're right.
So here's one more step.
If
I say one more step, and then let me say one more step past that. One more step past that. Give me one more step, and then I'll let you jump in. So what I'm saying is, let me give you my last step, and then jump in, please.
Yeah.
Give me one more step with it. So what I'm saying
okay.
is, I know you agree with me. You know that happened. What I am trying to suggest, you don't have to agree with me, but here's the step that I want to make sure is very clear. So I get what you're saying, that it has to be balanced. What I am saying is, until we own our part
okay.
to the extent that we no longer, see, in my opinion, once we own our part, I'm almost finished.
All right.
So once we own our part, and our part is this right here, that we respect them no matter what, then the balance thing
okay.
you're talking about, the balance approach will happen. I don't
okay.
think it'll happen until we own
okay.
our part.
Okay. Now,
I think
okay.
it's
going to
keep being what it is now.
Okay. That sounds
okay.
good. That sounds good. You're saying it won't happen until we own our part, right? And so what we're putting out there is a kind of vague point. You know, how do you make that happen? Because, for example, in October of 1995, I stood on the mall in Washington, D.C. with 1 million black men, and we all owned our part. That was 1 million. I was there. We all did just what you described. We said we own our part. We took pledges and promises. We're going to respect our woman. We're going to love our woman. We're going to atone for everything that we've done. We did that. We did that, and there wasn't no fake. I ain't talking about Mr. Farrakhan. I'm talking about the brothers on the ground. And I know of black men who went home and tried. They went home and went for it. I know some that got in and dropped off. I know some that stuck something because there wasn't no institutions on the ground at home to reinforce the pledge that we had just made.
Mm-hmm.
There was no institution. When we got back home,
There was no, so we need 2 million?
Because when you say how many of us need to own it, because 1 million of us owned it that day.
And that was a powerful
energy. But there were no institutions at home.
Exactly.
We have
exactly.
to teach our children.
So
I don't think I'm going to fix but check this out. That's why I always bring it back to education. Always bring it back to what we feed the next generation, because 36-year-old Tyrell is only going to get some of this. And I'm telling you this based on 27 years of experience. He may turn it around and get it going. He's just going to get some of this. But the 5-year-old Lulu, if we can immerse him in it, build schools around it, you know, if we can start saving money, like all this stuff that we need to be doing as men, if becoming builders, all this stuff we need to do, if we can start doing that and build institutions around what we believe, we good. And sisters got to do it the same thing. They have to build institutions around what they want to see. They have to. And if this generation can't do it, we got to put it in there. But you see what I'm saying? So we've owned, what I'm telling you, that you're right. We have to own our part. And what I'm telling you is millions have.
I don't know that we own.
Millions have tried. Yes. Yes. We have owned it, but it ain't going to stick. If you don't have the power to implement your promise, you're going to break your promise.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't know where we've owned it as a culture. Yeah. Yeah,
I was there. What was that, 23 years ago, where a million men plus owned it. A million black men owned it. Right there, and so we're here because there are no institutions being built to back it up. We didn't come home and build nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Because we got to learn from history. We doomed to repeat it. We didn't come home. We made the promise, and we didn't build nothing around the promise. We didn't build school. We sent our children back to that same school. So they grew up and they didn't fulfill the promise because they wasn't educated to fulfill that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's practical. We don't want to look at it like that, but it's very practical. Garbage in, garbage out. So we're trying to eat trash but implement these positive ideals. It doesn't work. We want our community a certain way, but we keep sending our children to be educated the opposite direction. Because we think that we can't educate our children right now. Don't you know people who want freedom ain't even in their vocabulary?
So let me ask you this.
It ain't in their vocabulary. Yes.
So let me ask you this, about me. Do you ever feel it's within this country that we ever had strong black families? Because I actually do think that we did.
I feel that we have the strongest family unit in the world. Our black, considering what's thrown against our families, we've had strong families, but we've had strong miseducated families, strong oppressed families, strong families who lack knowledge of self.
Can we say now we're lacking a strong family in a major way within our community?
Oh, absolutely.
Generally speaking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. The black family is under attack. Yes.
Right. Based on what you just said, so because I understand, you know, the educational focus, and again, I encourage it. Trust me, I do.
We ain't gonna get nowhere without it.
Okay. So here it is, though. Here it is. I think to get to where you want to go, I think the stepping stone is to have strong families, and then we can create a stepping stone into building the institution that you talk about.
Yeah.
And
so, we got to promote black marriage. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
Of course. Yeah.
Right, and I'm saying so what I'm saying is at a bare basics, though, we're going to have trouble promoting black marriage. Right. What I'm saying is we're going to have trouble promoting black marriage, in my personal opinion, especially with the onslaught of this gender war attacking our family. I think we're going to promote black marriage all the time, but I think we're going to have trouble promoting it.
We're not putting it in that algorithm and letting it trend. We not see what we try to
what's
do.
The, what's
is,
the algorithm?
I can't see,
when you say algorithm,
like the algorithm, you know, that puts it on that timeline. That when you go to Google and you click black marriage, you know, that algorithm where you're making it trend. Black love needs to trend. It needs to be promoted. We need to create images of it. We don't know how bad the black community is. All we know is that the negative is promoted more than the positive, so you feel like there's more negative than positive. But you don't know how many successful black marriages are out there. We have no idea. We assume that black marriage is in trouble. We assume that the black man ain't at home. We see it in our communities, but we see married couples in our communities too. We see good fathers in our community. We see single mothers, you know, baby mamas, baby dads that get along and raise their children together, and we need to promote it more so people can be encouraged to get on that level. You see what I'm saying? It needs
well,
to be promoted.
I think you're hearing me, Baba, me. As I'm listening to you, whether you break
but,
it out.
No, we're agreeing. I'm just getting to the action. I agree
right.
with you.
See,
I'm just getting to the action step.
Right, and I'm saying there's a
yeah.
there's a mental step before the action. I don't think you can act right before, unless you think right.
Mm. Those
and
of
I
us
think,
who are in
I
a
think,
certain place can act. The best type of leadership
right.
is
that, but that's
example.
That's coming to me. That's a given, though. To me, what you just said is a given.
Well,
though.
Now everybody don't understand that. Everybody
No. Listen, what you know. I want you to break down with the words you just said. You said certain those of us that are in a certain place. So. You're not so. I'm definitely mm-hmm. not talking about everybody because you just said the category of those that are
no.
in a certain place. So when
no.
I, so when I say it's a given, it's absolutely a given for those who have the thought process to do it. They automatically do it, and we have prime examples of it. Because what I'm
yeah.
not saying is that we don't have any good men. What I am not saying is
yeah.
that there are no good men. I'm not saying that.
Oh,
at
I know
all.
You're not saying that.
What
oh,
I
know you're not saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I didn't
okay,
say
cool.
that
yeah,
you
I'm
said
saying,
that
yeah,
at all.
Think, yeah, yeah,
yeah
I, feel like
I didn't
feel like
say
did.
That you said it.
Yeah,
at
yeah
all.
I don't feel like you
no.
said it. But I'm saying
yeah.
that to say
yeah.
the stepping stone to get, in my opinion, to get those who are not in that certain phase, as you just said, the stepping stone is the mental concept. And of course, you see
well,
what about
and where do you and where do you disseminate? Where do you disseminate the information? What you're saying is we got to get to this mental stage. And what I'm saying is, what physical tool do you use to get us there? That's education.
Okay, so
you can't
yeah,
just
not,
say
yeah, not, yeah,
we got to get to a mental state. How do we get there? You see what I'm saying? How are you going to educate
the man? So let me give you the how. So here's how I'm going to give you the how. So I want to give a how based on the reality that you and I both know we don't have enough of our children in African-centered education, right? We both know that it needs to be much more, right? So I want to address a how. I want to address a how while they're still in public in the wrong education per se, if that makes sense. What I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying. I want to, you know, promoting black marriage is one of the hows. So you've already kind of said one of the hows. So you know, I'm not going against you when you say that because that is one of the hows, right? Because if we get the family together again, then we can start talking about okay, here's the better step for you. And a couple who kind of is not, you know, not struggling and to survive, like you said, water, shelter, and you know what I mean, the food. So, you know, now you can get into here's better development for your children. And so it's not, you're right that it's education, but I'm saying while we're up against the majority of our people in public school, it has to be messaging, it has to be more of us, like, you know, men, like, our, you know, yourself, ourselves, you know, saying to our young boys running out here sowing your wild oats in the way that you have been taught is not the smartest thing. Because like you said, when you get them at a kid's age, you can teach them exactly how to do it. But I'm just saying that we gotta start, in my opinion, that conversation. We got to say to these sisters that are out here hurting,
but what
and
I'm,
dysfunction.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, and all I'm saying is, where are you going to have the conversation? Where are you going to have the conversation? You got to clearly define when are those opportunities going to happen. You know, you have to infiltrate the schools, the public schools. So you have to talk about those strategies. Are we infiltrating the public schools to talk to the boys there? Right, because I've been a part of those initiatives as well. You know, what
right.
you know, How? Are we going out on the block? Are we finna walk the block and talk to the brothers? See, at some point, the conversation has to happen. And you have to talk about how do we spark this conversation? Do we do conferences?
Right.
Is it all of the above?
Right. Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just taking it how and breaking it down even further. How are you going to have that conversation when you don't have the institutions? If you don't own the block, if you don't own a space that where you can come in and have whatever conversation you want. Because when you go talk to them in public school, you gotta pull them to the side to give them the real. You can only give them some of the real in front of the administration. Just some of the real.
Right.
You can't give them all the real in front of that admin. Then you up against your site police officers and the criminalization that's going on in the school that don't stop just because you there. They don't stop criminalizing the boys just because you walked in. You understand what I'm saying? So you're fighting because
I've been there.
Yeah. So you have to see. So we have to get engaged.
I got a half for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the how is the reason why mental dialogue, the community club exists, because of everything that you just said. Is to come up with a realistic how for the world that we are currently navigating to hopefully get more understanding in our community. And the how is to have, this is just a start, but it's a beautiful start. A beautiful start is to have, as you mentioned earlier, a safe space. Right now, I think a practical way of doing it is the way we're trying to do it here, which is at least once a month, you bring in all the different thought process to have those conversations. Because here's the thing about here's how it becomes exponential, because it happens here in Atlanta as we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that meeting spot where these type of conversations go on. Some guys, some women, they walk up in there, it's the first time they're hearing something like that. And then they come one more time. So what happens is, once they start seeing it make sense in that once-a-month community club, they start implementing it at home with their kids because they would have never thought to do it without having that, that once-a-month spot. And the once-a-month spot is to navigate how busy we think we are in today's time. Because, of course, I would love to do it every day. You see what I'm saying? But realistically,
I agree with you, and that has to happen. Those conversations have to happen. The community has to take ownership of it. And it got to be, it's not a, this is what we're going to tell them or teach y'all. It's a, let's come together with solutions. Cause just because somebody coming in ain't got an onk on don't mean they don't have wisdom and knowledge and information.
Exactly.
So you need spaces where we can interact on a practical level. And that's great to have that once a month. And it has to complement the stuff that goes on every day, because some of our people don't have a month.
Exactly.
Sometimes I don't have 30 days between this conversation and the next one. Sometimes I got practical things going on or relationship crisis going on right now. So even when we have that conversation, it got to be a resource-based conversation as well. I got to come away from that conversation with resources and institutions to make it happen. You know,
currently what happens in the community, the evening is set up for the conversation. In addition to, we have, for example, a community need and a who's in the room.
Yeah.
So that you can do that exact same thing. We have amazing testimonies of somebody's getting together and doing something because they connected with somebody else who thought like them or had a service that they needed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what the once a month is. It's for the conversation and the community needs. So I think it's a how-to that's perfect in 2018.
And bring in people who are already doing, bring in people
exactly.
into that conversation that are already doing practical things. You understand what I'm saying?
And that's what we do.
And so that's an excellent how. But guess what that is? That's school.
Absolutely.
That's a class. That's
I'm very aware of what's going
that's
on
education.
In there, bro.
It's education, you know. But we need it We need it on a mass scale. How do you do that? Look, the Great Pyramid is the greatest structure ever built. That's not one rock. That's 2,300,000 stones put together over 60 years to build it, right?
Absolutely.
What we have to recognize is that, yes, there's going to be more damage, more death, more blood, but we have to put our blocks on the pyramid. Sometimes we want the whole pyramid. It don't work like that. Imagine the group that put the first stone down, and it's 2,299,999 stones to go. Average weight of the mugs is 6 tons.
I do imagine it, King. That's,
but guess what they
did?
They still carved it. They carved it perfectly. They put it in perfect position. They saw the finished product at the first stone. And that's the attitude we got to take. And that's why those videos get dangerous, because it causes us, and I say us, whether I do it or not, I say us, because we're not going to rise any higher than the rest of us.
Exactly.
So it causes us to forget the good things. It causes us to forget our strength, you know.
Exactly.
Like you hear black people say, ain't nobody out here doing nothing. That's the greatest falsehood ever told. When somebody says we dying out here and ain't nobody doing nothing about it, then I know that you're discouraged, because there are efforts out here every day in just about every city, somebody trying to do something about it. And if you say, well, it ain't effective, well, that's because you ain't there. You was missing.
Absolutely.
You get in there and tell them what they doing wrong. And then if they won't listen to you, start your own organization, recruit some people, and y'all show them how to get it done.
Exactly. Yeah, one thing I didn't even mean for this to turn into a, you know, here's what we're doing in the dialogue.
It's a pop-up, right?
When you ask me how, but when you say how, and I feel like the how, everything you're saying is kind of what we're doing. One thing I always say to anybody that I'm challenging to come, you know, become a part of the community is I say we better with you than we are without you, because we are welcoming, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, we're not coming in there with, okay, I think this way. We want it. We want it all. And so,
like
so
you
here's
said,
how
we got to own
pyramid.
It, right?
Right.
We got to own it. That's what you said. Okay? So that's owning it, you know. When I see people say, I don't even fool with the conscious community, but they conscious. You're not owning it. You can't disown it when it get bad or when the negative news come out. You can't disown your blackness when something negative happens.
Right.
No, you got to own this shit. Like crackers own Trump. They own this shit. They at war, but they own it. He an idiot, but he they idiot. You got to own it. Africans own. We own our good. We own our bad. We own our ugly. We have to own it. You know?
What you just said is one of the best things we could ever do is to quit, in my opinion, to get out of the arena of even trying to throw any of ours away, regardless of how they think. And when I say, I'm not saying necessarily you can move with everybody, don't hear it that way. But
well,
I don't like
I think we just got to stop
energy.
Being so, I think we just got to be, I think what it helps is if we stop being so arrogant to think that we can, that we have the power to throw somebody away.
Shit,
if you ain't got the power to lift somebody up, you damn sure ain't got the power to throw them away.
Exactly. And I just,
I'd be laughing at Bubba. Like, I done got kicked out the cons community a whole bunch of time by people. But me and you talk.
I believe.
I done seen people who walk off who really thought I was thrown away. What if I could really think I'm thrown away because you don't talk to me? You know, there's over 50 million black people here. How can, God? It's 50 million. I see my views on my video be up to about 1,200 sometime, but it's 50 million black people over here.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
I got 5,000 Facebook friends. It's 5,000 black people within this 3 blocks that I'm sitting in right now. You know?
Exactly.
So I think that when the fights and the arguments and all that stuff happen, or somebody do something and mother's like, we don't fool with them no more. To me, that just means we don't fool with you no more. But wherever you are, I hope you're still fighting for black people. Wherever you are.
Absolutely.
Can't nobody. How am I gonna kick you out of your fight for your freedom?
I love it, brother. I love it.
I love it.
And if I could just add this to it, man, if I could just add the energy that's spent on disowning and dismissing and being negative with somebody. Like here it is. I'm sometimes when I had this conversation, somebody said to me, "You say, well, you trying to tell me that this person's actions don't hurt, you know, our community?" I said, "Well, we're not a monolith, first and foremost. We're not a monolith."
Yeah.
And I said, "Secondly, it's not that I can't own the fact that certain actions are not maybe the best for us." I said, "But in the meantime, while I'm so spending time on building us up and working on making sure we're better as a community,
I'm gonna say this, Black Sox, ain't stopping me or hurting me.
I'm sorry, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the Black Sox Tees, and I gotta go. I'm over with Supreme Rock Africa. We got to get back to the family. But check this out. I'm gonna say this though. You can't kick nobody out of nothing you haven't institutionalized. If there ain't no institutions, like, we're gonna kick him out of the community. Okay. Which one? How much, a community? What that mean? You blocking him? That's not a community. A community has a park in it. It has houses in it. It's physical. You gonna kick them out of the nation? Which nation? Well, you ain't built the nation yet. How you kicking somebody out of something that you ain't built yet? You finna go to work for AT&T tomorrow. We ain't got there yet.
I love it, brother.
So we be wasting our energy.
Go ahead with that, brother.
Such and such is hurting the community. No, what's hurting the community more than anything else is our lack of building it. Nothing's hurting it more than that. Nothing.
I love it. I'll let you end it with that, brother. Again, we just doing this thing live and direct. Get back to the queen.
Yes, man. I enjoy black man. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this from time to time. So for people out there, listen, I hope y'all enjoyed it. It's just pop-up radio.
Yes, sir.
No structure to it. Last thing, brother, let me say this before you go, because I want to highlight this. The brother last time we were on the phone, brother Jay Johnson, actually donated to the Ahuru Academy just the other night, brother. So I definitely want to shout that out.
Give thanks,
we said it on the show, and he did that.
Thanks to everybody that's out there showing support. Everybody looking out for us, man. I guarantee you we working hard every day. Black Soccer Tees, we building a team. We building a team that's about – I can show you better than I can tell you. I can show you better than I can tell you. We working, man. We working. The babies are doing great. And just be on the lookout for some great things from the Uhuru Academy. Everybody's donation, everybody's support, it definitely won't be in vain. Give thanks to the Creator.
No, absolutely. And I was able to support Ricky Ross's
birthday
celebration.
Shout
too,
out
so
to Ricky Ross, Supreme
Ra.
Yeah, that was a super cool gesture on his part. But, you know, he's the second parent we've ever had. He's been with us since we started the school. You know what I'm saying? And it's that kind of commitment. We talk about parental involvement, parental engagement. It's that type of commitment that African-centered education brings out of a parent.
I love it, bro. I know you're going to get to the queen. I'm going to get to the
Yes, sir.
I may have Jay out there on the phone, man, but I'm going to go ahead and let you get to your queen. I'm going to bring him on real quick before we close the show.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you, brother.
Black Power.
All right, brother. Carla, I'm going to go ahead and let you jump on before I end the show.
Greetings. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? What's your name, queen, and where you calling from? And give us your 3 cents on the nice discussion. I already let Baba Amin go again. We just throw these out. There's no rhyme or structure to these pop-up shows. We just do it just to kind of dialogue and let people tune in. What you got for us, queen, and where you calling from?
My name is Sapphire, and I listen to the show in its entirety. And I wasn't going to phone in, but I'm doing it because I want to talk to you. And I want to be brief.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
But
I'm, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm good.
I have
we
a comment.
Got time, so we keep it going.
I have a comment for you, and I'd like you to respond to it, because in listening to you, the sentiments that you made became resident within me, because I heard something that I thought about over and over again, and I know that it's important. But I don't think you got to get to the gist of it, because when you were explaining how we've got to deal with and get on top of this gender war, and you said that we need to let the brothers know that they should respect all women as they respect their mothers. And then someone said to you, I mean, I forget who it was or how it went, but they were saying, well, all women are not worthy of that respect or whatever. But I feel where you're coming from. I feel where you're coming from, because I feel like this. A people's most intense or beneficial aspirations come from culture, right? And cultures mm-hmm. change over time, and those changes are made so that the culture can get, so that the people can get what they need from the culture. I guess what I'm saying is so that the culture can provide the people mm-hmm. with the tools that
Absolutely.
They need for upward mobility.
Absolutely.
And what you were saying, this is what Absolutely. I felt. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. I felt like you were talking about a movement, because, you know, other people were saying, and I'm respectfully saying this, other people were saying that, mm-hmm. well, you know, you've got to have institutions and you've got to have education, and without that, you're not going to be able to achieve what you're looking to achieve. But I respectfully disagree with that, because while mm-hmm. education is necessary, institutions are necessary, infrastructure is necessary, but a movement is primary, because movements mm-hmm. will get you the tools that you need
the
to build
things.
Institutions. Exactly.
Exactly.
And so there is a culture of gangbanging in the Black community, but that wasn't taught in an institution. Do you
in
feel
some,
where I'm
some,
going with this?
Yeah, some parts. Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
No, it was a movement that took off
yeah, absolutely. Very,
like fire.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I saying
absolutely.
Here? I'm saying that I felt like what you were saying is we need to start a movement where we respect
absolutely.
One another, where we portray integrity, whether we have it or not, because we know everybody will not fall in line. But I understood you to be saying that we have got to make respect for our women. That goes for women as well. Women
it's
need to
paramount.
Respect mothers. And exactly.
We
need to make that
paramount.
But it's paramount. And
that it comes from the men. It's paramount, in my opinion, that what you're suggesting,
exactly.
what you're talking about, I think it's paramount
so
that it comes from men. But from this standpoint, I mean, add this to it, because I think you're understanding where I'm going. Like you said, it didn't take an institution to build. That was a very good analogy. I love that analogy, Queen. That was beautiful, Sapphire. And so if I could just even add to the reason I think that it's paramount, because you even said, granted, everybody won't fall in line. And I'm thinking to myself is there's never even going to be any chance to fall in line if we don't start with this very basic concept, because we're trying to navigate this back and forth between the Black man and Black woman without starting with, amen, how would things go if you didn't decide between this woman and that woman who your respect should be given to? How would things go if we just did it across the board? That is a cultural movement that would change things in the future, in my personal opinion.
I agree with you. And thank you for explaining it like that. I'm trying to get this thing out, but I'm grappling with it because I want to be respectful. You know what I'm saying? But I want to bring
yes.
you to this point. And listen to Dr. Clark. He explained very elegantly how the Germans, or the barbarians, if you will, conquer
mm-hmm.
Rome. And he said that history, the annals of history, shows that the Germans didn't have the warrior mentality nor the tools to conquer Rome. But they started a movement that even when they were buying bread or going swimming or taking a bath or gardening, they would say to the neighbor or to the men at the store, Rome must fall. You see what I'm saying? That
mm-hmm.
movement created a culture that required that they get the spirit to conquer those people. So when you were speaking, I heard you clearly, and I understood what you were saying. You're talking about a movement to change the detriment or the degeneracy in our culture. And I want you to know I agree with you. I see you, and I think you are spot on, because like you and I are saying, a movement is something that can touch everyone. They may not adhere to it, but it will touch everyone, and it will catch on for many people. And how do we start that movement? Simply by brothers professing.
Conversation.
I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm trying to be a part of this new culture where I respect women. I'm going to have to gracefully bow out. I cannot be a party to that. And so because you are a stand-up brother, other brothers who are trying to be stand-up will acclimate into what you are doing. So I guess what I'm saying at the end of the day, movements, when you're trying to get something accomplished and off the ground, will supersede institutions and educations, because movements cause institutions, infrastructure, and all the rest
to come. Exactly.
And lastly, I want to say this.
Go ahead.
I want to say this. I could hear the urgency in your voice, even though you're cool and mellow, but I could hear the urgency when you talked about the gender war. So I thought to myself, is there a generation gap between you and the gentleman you were talking to? Because I need for people to understand that this gender war will cut the throats of the black community this gender war, because it's not over yet, we haven't seen the casualties.
Right. Absolutely.
And one of the casualties
We're living out the casualties. We're living them out, but then if we don't end it. And it's unnecessary for our community.
I was going to tell you, I never hear people talk about how the gender war has been so detrimental to black business, because I have very young girls and young women in my family. I'm talking about 17, 14, 12, some in their early 20s in college. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm so heartbreaking that I don't even broach the subject anymore, because I had a 12-year-old tell me, and I don't even want to cry. She said, I do not. We were going to an event, and they had different booths around. And we were trying to send her to a booth to get some information, get some pamphlets. And she said, I don't want to go over there. I'm not comfortable. And she said, I said, why? And she said, black men don't like black girls. And that's why they say so many mean things about us. I don't want to go over there. I already know he doesn't like me. And we were so, it's just like somebody snatched our hearts out of our chest.
Right.
And so.
I understand, Queen. That's. And
will
here's
you tell
let me take,
these
what
black
you said
men?
A step further. Let me take it one step further, what you just said. So here's where we'll stop. That story you just told, if anybody listens to this point on, we got about 15 more minutes, and I'm okay with it. I'm glad we're having this conversation because it's so needed. And so here's how the conversation will stop in today's gender war time. I'm talking about from a man's perspective. So you tell that story, like I got chill bumps thinking about the hurt of how much it bothered you as a woman. But in today's time, the gender war will stop it at, men will say, some woman put that in her, or she learned that from some bitter woman. Like, this is where the gender war it'll cast that story of that young girl. That's where it'll cast it at. Whereas here's where it should be. As hurt as you are, any black man listening should be even more hurt. we should be even more hurt that there is an environment out there that young women are learning that. The gender war teaches young men that it's other hurt women that are teaching that. Here's reality. The reality of history for us as African-American men in this country is we have adopted ways kind of similar to what Baba Amin was referring to. We've adopted ways that are not natural to our culture, but since we've adopted some of those ways, we have now carried it out. So now you have a 12-year-old in 2018 being afraid of a black man. That is actually on us from the things that we've adopted and the things that we have done, in a sense, to our sisters. And somebody will listen to me and say, I'm saying all black men. I'm not saying all black men, but generally speaking, it has been done enough to the extent that our stronger sisters keep believing in us, keep sticking by us. But if you talk to one of those sisters who does stick with us, who doesn't involve herself in the gender war, generally speaking, if you ask her her story, though, she has plenty of examples of being jaded by more men than she wasn't jaded by. But it was those good brothers or those stand-up brothers that helped her feel, believe in, and want to stand by us. Because what I've said plenty of times, sisters, y'all been standing by us, even though, generally speaking, what good reason have we given you? I'm talking about in the reality of how we treat you daily before we find you worthy enough to marry you. Because in our time, in our period spent of being allowed to sow our wild oats, we literally are out here not being respectful of what that does to you as a woman while we are free to do that. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm making sense to you, and I hope I'm not.
Yeah, you are. I understand.
For anybody out there that's listening. But when I say that falls on us, it changes the dynamic of the back and forth of the gender war, because I don't have to have a back and forth when I can come in the room and say, sisters, you're right. You got to teach these brothers to respect you no matter what. That's a very receiving space. Now, I will say this to you, sisters. For sisters who have gotten caught up, in my opinion, in the feminist movement to the extent that they are bitter to the point, I don't know that anything I say will be helpful, because I'm already reduced to, you know, black men ain't this or black men ain't that. So I'm not saying that taking this step would necessarily bring all of those sisters back, but it definitely would alleviate more sisters turning to that movement, because we raise a culture of men who respect you regardless. And it's time for us as men to, that example you gave that you've already mentioned, where I want a brother to say, well, some sisters don't care themselves. And our response in this culture should be, what they got to do with how you treat somebody, though. Like, that's a cultural step that we don't say or do as men. I learned this. I learned this from being on the other end of it. I've lived it to the extent to say, this was some bullshit. Excuse the language, but once, you know what I'm saying? And when I first realized it, I didn't flip immediately. I've had to let go of all the BS I was raised with. And I'm not even saying I'm all the way there. I'm actually saying this in the process of trying to be better and trying to be right. And I'm 44, looking for a queen, but it's because I've get it wrong for too long. And it's time to own that as men in general. And I think it would really lift our sisters up and take the burden that they've always continue to think that during this quote-unquote gender war, we're always trying to lay it at the feet of the woman. And we are doing that more than we realize as men, in my opinion. Even again, you know, just going back to the conversation I had with blah, blah, means. He's like, it's got to be a balanced approach. Like, I hear what he's saying. I'm saying we can't even get to give having a balanced approach until we as men own our role that pushed, in my opinion, we pushed a lot of our sisters to the feminist movement. They just ran and did it. I think our actions led to that. So until we own that action that pushed them, we're not going to fix this thing, in my opinion.
I agree with you, too. And I want to share something with you. And I want you to really think about this. There are not as many black feminists as brothers would believe there are. See,
I agree.
I want you to let the brothers know to leave that talking point out. Leave that talking point alone, because it's not going to help the situation. Most black women are not feminists. They are fewer than men would believe, but because it's a talking point, that's a movement that has caught on. So every other man, if you throw a roll of nickels in a concert, you're going to hit a man that say, feminism and welfare broke the black family down. No, that's not true. That's not true.
I agree.
So I'm saying most black women are not feminists. As a matter of fact, there are very few. What you see is a propaganda campaign and
absolutely
carefully scripted
absolutely
pictures that you don't know those women from a can of paint. A lot of those women, as a matter of fact, let me just go here. A lot of people that you see parading around and holding signs in movements were paid to do it because they're unemployed.
Wow.
A lot of the people
mm-hmm
that you see, yeah. They make like a you know, couple of dollars an hour to hold signs and do this. After they leave that, they don't give a damn about what that sign was about. Now, having said that, I want you to understand this. The black man has to see to the hurt and embarrassment that he has caused his woman. Now, when he does that, when he does
yes,
that, nobody fights for him like his mama and like his woman. And I, what I want for the black man to do is to understand this. Out her, you don't have much of an economy, a culture, or anything, because it is her money that is going to uplift black business, the infrastructure, building of institutions. I know men like to be manly and say, well, men build, women don't. That is not true. So when you research Black Wall Street, see, because we live in a patriarchal culture, you don't see mm-hmm Nana and Big Mama, all the women who gave all of their monies to their sons and brothers and husbands to do things, the women who worked for free. Marcus Garvey said it was the women who jumped in front of him when somebody shot at him. So I'm just saying, I just want for the brothers to understand they are going to have to be kinder and gentler. I don't, like you said earlier, I don't care if the woman is a whole bag of tricks. If she's not coming at you salty, you need to reframe from the verbal attacks, and a lot of this is done for financial gain. A lot of people get on Facebook and Twitter because they're trying to get followers, they're trying to get a couple of coin by advertisement,
mm-hmm,
and they say what brokenhearted brothers want to hear. Bitches ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to
mm-hmm
hear. You see what I'm saying? And there are men who have wives who will get on social media just to get a few coins because he's unemployed and push that narrative. But if a movement is started, like you said, where brothers say, you know, that's not cool. That's not cool. Even if you don't have a yep daughter or a wife, because
yep
you have
I
a navel, it means you came from a woman that preceded
mm
you.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Thank you for your time and for listening.
No, fellas, no. We got a few more minutes. Might as well close it out. I mean, because like what you just said, it reminded me of, I remember one time I put on the Mental Dialogue Out Facebook page. I said, growing up, I'm 44, grew up with hip-hop. I'm a hip-hop head, grew up with it, you know, love the music more than most people or whatever, you know, just calling it for what it is. So I wrote a thing on Facebook just kind of acknowledging that I've always been a lover of hip hop, you know, all forms of it. I says, but we lost as a community. Today it became commercially okay to label the black woman as a bitch public. Like, we completely lost when that became A-okay. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? From a commercialized standpoint, I'm not naive to reality that all cultures have, in a sense, their black market and their, you know, or whatever, you know, the street walkers and things of that nature that exist in all cultures. But we commercialize some aspects of that, and that is the absolute day we lost, because I've always felt like for our community, it's kind of like what Baba Amin spoke about in the last half hour when he was saying, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So I'm like, it's no surprise that in 2018, for myself and younger people, generally speaking, from the standpoint that if you only listen to stuff that never tells you how to love for your woman, specifically through your music, which is a powerful medium, then how would you ever know how to? And so, you know, I'm just saying, I'm just kind of reinforcing what you're saying, how much I think you're absolutely right, that anytime we're latching on to, because we're always backlashing against, like you said, this small, loud movement. Because it's not big, like you said, it's nowhere big as people think it is. But people with agendas and propaganda and money can make themselves look big. And so because we see the articles and because it's pushed forward and pressed, you're absolutely right. We think the movement is bigger than it is. And so because they're saying we ain't shit, then we turn around and backlash against it. But the reality is it's a small movement, and it actually continues to be, in my opinion, weak of us to not recognize the reality of that movement. It is designed to strangle us, but it is very small. As you said, there's not a lot of sisters in that movement. If we could own that and realize that the ones that have sisters saying, you know, men ain't shit, or as you just said, you know, your young 12-year-old, I think you said niece, afraid to go approach a black man, you know, understanding the propaganda and the agenda is, if we recognize it for what it is, then we don't have to have the human nature just backlash. Well, she said I ain't shit. That's weak. That's what my boy would do. A man can receive,
you know what? And
that.
Real quick, when I experienced that with her, I realized that that was the goal of the gender war. And also, I want to let you know this. We know that music is the sentiment of a man's soul. We know that, right? Now, if I were very powerful and I wanted to dismantle a people, I would change their music and make it destructive. Because music reaches everyone.
It's a very, very, very powerful medium. And again, if some people will listen to the last part of what we're saying and think we're placing the blame on the music, no, not doing that at all. But we have to be very aware of psychologically what music can do to our children. And specifically, I always tell people in our community, please do not expose young children to the most negative music before the age of 7. Really could wait till 12. But from a psychological standpoint, and studies prove, never before the age of 7. So we only got a minute, but I'm so glad that we were able to hash out this last 30 minutes. I hope people hear the podcast. Sapphire, if you will, follow me on at Mental Dialogue on the Facebook page and share this podcast with other people, if you will. Thank you for coming on with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. All right, y'all. This is Conversations with Black Socrates. It's raw. No format. We just doing it. So I hope y'all enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. I'm very thankful for the Queen calling in at the end. And I'm thankful for Baba Amin in the first hour of it. Didn't expect to do another 30 minutes, but she was so, Sapphire was so dope. We just kept it going. So I hope y'all enjoyed it as well. And we got another one Thursday morning at 10 o'clock with Maria Rich. Hallelujah. That one. All right. And Saturday morning, every Saturday morning is our regular show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a dialogue talk show every Saturday morning for 2.5 years. So rock with us. We'll see y'all hopefully on Thursday and Saturday. Take care.